I think I'm going to make one in encouragement, instruction, not instruction. If you like it, try it. Out on Dave's website, under prophecies, we have 8 years of the recorded prophecies in what the computer world calls PDF or documents. And it's very easy. Extremely easy for most people. That you're able to take year by year and you're able to download them and merge them into a single document. And then you can do a search for any word like love, joy, peace. And you're able to bring up everything that the Father has shared with us, really the Trinity has shared with us, either in a word of prophecy or in a word of wisdom or in a word of knowledge. Some of, if not much of, what I'm sharing comes from that. Now, I have a little more than you do, but that doesn't make me better than you. Eventually, we will have all the way back to 1989 everything that has ever been brought forth as a gift within the body. There's 68,486 individual words like love, joy, peace. So you need a good search engine if you understand those things and a fast computer, because I think we're heading fast into living in nanoseconds versus seconds, and if it takes 3 or 4 seconds for you to get something, you're already out of patience. Well, maybe not you, but a few people that I know are that way. All right. Would you make this affirmation after me? Now, Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me. Think of that individual, or more than one, that you have to apply your heart to that. And let the Lord know that you're forgiving them as much as you possibly can at this moment. And ask for grace to receive more power, which is in the grace, to forgive them more. Father, forgive me all my trespasses against you. I am freshly washed in the blood of the Lamb. In order that my record in heaven is perfect. Therefore I say, because of the blood, what Jesus did for me according to my record in heaven, I have never failed God. So any accusations that comes up in your heart and in your mind during this service, let your mind know or your soul know, I have never failed God because of the blood. If you live that, if you not only receive it, but you begin to understand it and you keep it, you will walk in a level of freedom that we've never walked in before. And it is progressionary. It is progressionary. If you have your hand out, and I hope you do, let's turn to the back page. And I believe we've went through adequately, I guess, or the beginning of understanding up until January the 8th. And for this session, or for this season, we just have the three left. Let's read. I'll read out loud, but you read with me, just together, the January 8th. We can, because you are our strength. There's been a spirit assigned to us to discourage you, to make it hard to even muster up enough strength to believe that you are an overcomer. And when you feel that depression, and that I will describe how I have been feeling, it's been hard to muster up the strength to keep pressing in. That is a spirit that is trying to lie to us. So, Father, I receive your strength. You are my strength. And yes, I can do what you have asked me to do. That thing in front of me, that direction in front of me, of each of us, that you have given to us specifically. Yes, we can do that because you are our strength. Let's go back through line for line and let me share a few things. The title was given, We Can Because You Are Our Strength. I happened to change it on mine and said, You are my strength, and yes, I can. There's no can't. I can. I absolutely can. Period. There's been a spirit assigned to us to discourage us, to make it hard to even muster up enough strength to believe that we are an overcomer. If you would like to circle something in that, I would circle the word assigned. He didn't come to visit. He didn't come for one appointment. It's not a part-time job for him. Whoever this enemy is, and whatever strength that he has, he has been assigned to the prayer center, and especially to you and to me. It's an assignment. He wasn't passing by. Now, we already know he's completely defeated. I'm not talking about being under some heavy burden. I'm just wanting you to know that if I had a raise of hands, we've done that before, the number of people that have felt a new amount or a different type of discouragement. The Lord called us overcomers. He called us overcomers. He spoke this through an individual from heaven with you on his mind, and he said, as I look at you from heaven, and I look at you, to me, you're an overcomer. There is no defeat. You walk in victory. Because of me, yes, because of what my son has done, all those things that the foundations have been laid in our life. But I want you to know, no matter what comes against you, and no matter what level of discouragement, to me, you're an overcomer. Period. You're an overcomer. If you want to write down two scriptures, you can write down Luke 10:19. And you can also write down John 10:10. I'm going to read both, but for the sake of time, you don't need to turn to them. Luke 10:19, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all of the power of the enemy, over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. If you do not, no, it's wrong. If we do not do the treading, if we do not do the treading, then we cannot claim that nothing shall by any means hurt you. That was delegated authority, and we have to do the treading. No, we can't do the sitting. You know, we can't decide that we have no need to pay any attention to it, because the Lord's going to take care of it. He is not going to take care of it without you co-laboring. He does come to do those three things. He has nothing else on his mind. He is completely a stealer. He is completely a destroyer. And he would love to kill everything about you. He can't physically, but he can kill all your dreams, all your desires, all your hopes. And he'll steal and kill and destroy every bit of the word that you have inside of you. He mentioned snakes or serpents. You can't play with a snake. You can't ignore a snake. You can't make fun of a snake. You can't see a snake and say, oh, it's going to be all right. Because that snake only has those three things in mind. And I believe that in some areas, we have a tendency to allow the snake to live instead of stepping on it, instead of killing it. That's the warfare that we're talking about. That's the warfare that we've always been in it. It's not something brand new. This is sort of not brand new revelation. But it's time in our selling out to destroy it. And he's giving us all the power to do it. All of it. They are already defeated. And in the spirit, they're already dead. I mean, we are more than conquerors. You know all those. But you have to recognize it and allow him not to steal out of your heart, out of your soul, out of your mind, to tell it to leave. Praise and worship is a great way to do it. But you're the one that has to do it. You can't go back and sit down and say, okay, recently, you've heard me share in times past, most likely, about one of my greatest achievements is taking false responsibility for other people and help them type of thing. And recently in one of the avenues that we're walking in, I began to share with the Holy Spirit in regards to things that needed to be done. And I heard it as clear as you're hearing me. The Holy Spirit said back to me, you are trying to put me under false responsibility. That's your responsibility. I've given you all the authority. I've given you all the wisdom. I've become your righteousness, on and on and on. So, son, don't try to put me under false responsibility, because I never receive it. But together, co-laboring, we'll win. You do your part. Use all the authority. I'll do my part. Incidentally, it's nothing to me to use all the power I have for every need you have in your life. But I can only do my part. You do your part. 2 Corinthians 12. Once again, when we just give you certain verses, you know the rules of meditation. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. It's Paul saying, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation knowledge that was given me, a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted. I'm not comparing any of us to him, and yet I completely am. You know that when somebody, when he was alive, tried to deify him and make him something special, do you remember what he did? He ripped his clothes, him and Barnabas, and ran screaming, saying, what in the world are you doing? I'm just a man. I'm not a saint. I'm not somebody special. Everything I am that you like about me is Jesus. Is Jesus. There's nothing about me that you can like, okay, outside of Jesus. That's all that I am. I'm going to read a part I mentioned last week, Gary's face-to-face. I'm going to read a part of a face-to-face that's called The Works of the Father. And I'm only going to read several paragraphs. This is, you might call it an appetizer for you to get into the full words. There is only one Christ. There is only one Lord. Jesus is the Lord of all. He is the head of the church. All glory goes unto him, and he will not share his glory with another. Yet it is his mind that all believers may attain to the level of ministry which they see in his humanity as recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is the pattern, he is the mark for which all believers are to strive. He is the only mark, not Pastor Dave. No matter how much we all love him, whose name do you want to put there? There's only one example, only one mark to walk towards, and that's Jesus. Without meaning to do so, many oppose the will of the Father and the mind of Christ. When they say such things as, no man shall ever attain to the same level of ministry as Jesus of Nazareth. No man shall ever attain to the same level of the ministry of Jesus. That's a lie wrapped in an excuse to not press towards the mark. Or you could say it's an excuse that's wrapped in a lie for us to do nothing. They know not the mind of the Father and are ignorant of the Scriptures, Have not the scriptures declared that the mind of the Father is that they all grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? For your references, that's Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Did not Paul declare that he was pressing towards the mark being the pattern set by Jesus Christ, the original? Did not John boldly declare that believers should walk as he walked? That's 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Those who would say with darkened understanding and false humility, who are void of the counsel of the Father, that none shall attain to the level of the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, they know not that they oppose the will of the Father. Were it known unto them, and were it known unto the body at large, it is the Father's will that many seeds come to maturity, to walk as he walked, act as he acted, speak as he spoke, and have the same results that Jesus of Nazareth did. It is no small thing to live your life in me. Everything you are now in me is your victory, is your true victory. And all of my word is your truth, and overcomes every deception the enemy uses against you. You are overcomers in me. And you need not fear what the enemy brings. See yourself in me. Don't ever look at you, or don't ever look at yourself outside of being in him, because that's where he's placed us. In him. Back to the prophecy. And when you feel that depression, and that, I will just describe how I have been feeling. It's been hard to muster up the strength to keep pressing in. This is a spirit that is trying to lie to you. And then the prophecy goes into a prayer, and I'm going to turn it into a confession for all of us this morning. So, Father, I receive your strength. You are my strength, and yes, I can do what you have asked me to do. Selling out to him, right? Selling out to him. You are my strength. It's going to allow me to sell out to you. I'm not going to do it outside of your strength. In essence, I can't. But I'm relying on your strength, incidentally, which is what grace is. Grace is power. I'm relying on your strength. Repeat. That thing in front of me. That direction in front of each of us. That you have given us specifically. Yes, we can do that. Because you are our strength. This is the year that I'm selling out to you. Whatever your will is, my desire, I don't live to myself anymore. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Feels good? Before we go into the next one, Lord's asked me to share a little bit about the revival that's coming. There has never, ever, ever, ever been a revival like we're expecting, where he has become, has taken authority and said, this is my revival. This is mine. If you write down three references, you can write down Matthew 22:32, Mark 12:26, Acts 7:32, and there's probably 10 more throughout the Word. I'm only going to read one of them, and that's Matthew 22:32. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. The Father, or the Trinity, has chose to give one of their names of who they are to three generations. Nowhere else has he ever said, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. And I'm the God to all three of them, identically the same, no matter what I've called them to do. It's me. The revival that the Lord is bringing and has endorsed or has grabbed a hold of and taken ownership of is a generational revival. If you look, I'm only making statements. I'm not bringing any judgment into this. I know better. You look at the majority of ministries around the world and you read the stories of great people. Almost never does the next generation pick up where the first generation lived and walked and accomplished. The next generation always lives off of, and I'm not critical when I'm saying that, but the next generation lives off of what the first generation accomplished. And I'm talking about the purest. That is not the revival that you are a part of. You must. If I say must, I'm not yelling and I'm not screaming. I'm begging for you to fully understand that you're part of a generational revival. If you're under the age of 40, just raise your hand for all of us old folks. The foundation that the Lord has established is the reason that this revival will be multiple generations. Those things that you're doing within the message, within what the revelation knowledge that's come, all that that you're doing is establishing a foundation for the next generation. It was David that really, really, really wanted to build the temple. I mean, he was a worshiper. You know. No, he wasn't a worshiper. He was a king and a worshiper. You know. And he was a fighter. Okay. With all his heart. with all his heart. He wanted to build the temple. I mean, why wouldn't he have? Everything that he wanted was God. All of the psalms, all of the fellowship, all of the relationship. He really wanted to build the temple. And the Father came to him and said, Son. God came to him and said, Son, you're not able to build the temple because you've spilt blood. You're a warrior. Okay. But I want you to know that I'm going to allow your son to build it. But you're going to gather all of the stuff before you go home and have it available for your son to build the temple. So don't take on any false responsibility, son. My timing is the right timing. And I want you to know, I already know your heart. And I've got a job for you to do. But the temple will come in the next generation. All of the living, let's remove the word fighting, and all of the living that we've all done to get to a year ago walking into the promised land and leave the wilderness, the next generation will live in the promised land. Now they're going to fight giants. They're going to fight giants of wealth, giants of prosperity, giants of being recognized and people saying, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best. They're going to fight different giants, but they will have underneath them identically the same foundation that each one of us have to establish the foundation or to get across Jordan, however you want to put it. It is a season after season after season. And this revival will not stop until he returns. Now that's not Tim prophesying. I could. But he has said it over and over and over again to us. And he happens to saying it to us, but it's not just to the prayer center people in front of us. It's to everybody that is walking this walk. That he's saying, when I come, and when I manifest, because you have used your authority for me to do that, it will never end. And there are centuries that have went by that have never felt this or seen this or known it. And we're all a part of it. When Pastor Dave's book was written, what's the name of that book? I won't go into some stories with that because I'm being videoed. So, but when Pastor Dave wrote, got the book and was handed it to him, the Lord spoke to him and said, with this book, I'm going to lay a foundation in the body of Christ. He didn't say, I'm going to let you build the temple. I'm not saying that you're going to build the first floor. I'm telling you, son, that I've put the foundation for the body of Christ. And there may be more than one foundation. That's fine. But I'm going to lay a foundation in the body of Christ through this book. Dave, he either smiled or just laughed out loud. How could you ever do that through me? Now, if I would go into the story after story and the number that's been printed, the numbers being downloaded, it only shows that we have a Father who cannot lie. Not only doesn't he can't. I think I'll go on. when Smith went home, Smith Wigglesworth, I'm sure you've read the story. He went to a funeral to conduct the funeral. And I don't know how many people the father used to raise people from the dead. And somebody, a young lady, I believe it was, sort of beat on his chest or held him and was crying and said, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, if you would have been here, he'd have never died. If you'd have been here. And Smith Wigglesworth walked up behind the podium, and slumped over, and went home. I believe he went home with a broken heart. Now, that's personal opinion. I believe that he was crying out for the next generation to walk where he's walked and where he had walked. With that in mind, for all of you that are excited about your part of the next generation, I only have one scripture for you. Well, I don't even have a scripture. If you're interested in looking it up, you'll have to. To whom much is given, much is required. And there's no requirement that the Lord ever gives you that he will not fulfill through you with his grace. I mean, it's really a promise. I have a confession. Maybe I have it here. I just might read it. Father, I'll just read this one. Father, every instruction that you give me is a promise from you. And you will fulfill that instruction you have given me by your grace. I surrender my will and become a humble and obedient co-laboring servant, hearing and obeying you brings me the greatest amount of pleasure. Co-laboring. Okay, the next prophecy on your handout, if we can find it. I am raising up a family who will trust me and will follow me or follow my steps and not be afraid that I will abandon them. And when all hell comes against them, they will walk through because they will not let go of me. In that walk with him, my peace is mandatory for my leadership. You will not find my leadership in rooms of confusion, rooms of allegations, rooms of anxietiness, nor rooms of fretfulness. Here, you will not find my leadership. You will find my leadership in my peace when you are at rest, trusting in me. Oh, trust me, says the Lord, be at peace. Even when in the natural, it seems like you are falling so far behind. Trust me, says the Lord, for therein is my leadership, in the stillness of the quiet place where you fellowship with me, you will find my leadership. The leadership of my wisdom shall prevail and overcome all and accomplish all that you need to do. Stay in rooms of peace, even when things are very busy. Stay in my rooms of peace that the waves of my peace wash over you, for therein you will find my leadership. Next prophecy. Whole cities of sinners will be left without doubt. What I am sending, the revival, will carry a weight and power that has not been recognized very many times through the centuries. The army I send will be well equipped. For aggressive they shall be, and indeed they shall invade the dark places, but they will do it with such a success that has not been seen for many centuries, because I'm pulling all things together for the things I will do in these last days. Never will the army I send in be more equipped by the things of the Spirit. Never will my government be more in operation and my blessings more at for your hands. For you will say, it seems like I'm walking in a new place. To you, it is a new place. To you, it is a new place. To you, it is a new place. But to me, it is one that I have always had established for you. So be strong and know that line upon line, precept upon precept, I have many plans for both you and for those who shall go forth from you in this earth this day, says the Lord. Rest of the paragraph, or rest of the prophecy. I will come in with such definition that you will be able to define what I'm doing and know that nobody else could do it but me. And it will be in such a way, the signs and wonders, in the way that people go in helping them in the impossible, that whole cities of sinners will be left without doubt, wondering what to do about their next step. All I need is people that can turn me loose on that level of freedom. One more. For powerful things will be created in the atmosphere of the Spirit and will turn me loose and set me free, says the Lord. Things will continue to change from glory to glory. In history, they had revivals. You are about to repeat the story. For healing revivals, they attracted the attention of the sense ones, you see. Then they reached to the believer and attained things that caused them to be set free. Great things are coming, so continue to praise and worship, and I will continue to bring you to great degrees of my Spirit. For you will see, you are about to reach a place as a church that you will set me free. I'd like to address one more thing. As you have endured or enjoyed the services or that the Lord's allowed me to have, you certainly recognize that I have went through prophecies that the Lord has given to the prayer center, and I've only pulled them out and placed them in a document. The purest words that have been spoken. Now there are hundreds. So I did the best that I could, or with the help of the Holy Spirit, to pull what I thought was the right one or the best one for the time allotted, which is an hour. That exercise I personally call meditation in writing. If you will do that, you hear? If you will do that with your personal words, we entitled it Blueprint. Whatever you choose. If you do that with your own words and keep it, in other words, read it and keep it, you'll never be discouraged. You'll never be despondent. It will fill hope. It'll fill joy. You'll praise and worship from a place that you've never been able to, well, that will be constant. You may have praised and worshiped Him before, but if you do it, you begin to live it. We could call it confessions. We could call it meditation, image, and delivery. It's all within those seven keys. But it's keeping what the Lord has said about you as an individual. Still love me? See you in a half an hour.